Let's get into some Redbird football. It was a big week for them. They got their first win of the season against North Alabama on Saturday. 24-17, the Redbirds win, and really just a big day from just rushing in general. That we kind of talked about it all year. Rushing is going to be the key to this team's success, and sure enough, that's exactly what it was on Saturday with Tommy Rittenhouse and Wankers Wright.
I mean, how massive was it for the Redbirds? You know, had such a major loss in Mason King being announced out for the rest of the season, and he still came in, or Wankers Wright and everybody still came in there, implemented that rushing attack. So the fact that you can lose your starting running back and still be able to implement your game plan is just massive for the Redbirds for the rest of the season.
I mean, like, for running back, depth is such a huge thing for a team. You have to have at least three good running backs on your roster if you want to succeed, and it seems like after that game, the Redbirds kind of found that out. You got Wankers Wright, who played very good still. Tommy Rittenhouse had a 70-yard run at quarterback. So, like, this team could really put it on with the run, and I feel like that's going to be their big thing going forward.
Yeah, and we were kind of worried with Rittenhouse after that Iowa performance. You know, it wasn't the best in the world, but he also showed that he can pass the ball as well, you know, 142 yards and a touchdown. So we saw the unpredictability you can get with the Redbirds this season, and that's really going to benefit them going forward.
Going back to Mason King, last year had just a really good year. He was a big part of their team. He was a Walter Payton Award watchlist player for this year, and him having season-ending surgery. We saw him get injured. Joey, me and him were talking about it the other day in the office, and it was not to an extreme level like what the Aaron Rodgers injury was, but the way that it kind of unfolded, it felt like the Aaron Rodgers injury because I think he, took two snaps and then got hurt. So just really, really tough loss, but I mean, considering what we saw this week with Wankers Wright and 156 yards, I mean, that is unbelievable. We've seen him do it in the past, and it felt like he was getting lost in the shuffle. But really, this year, it feels like he is going to be the workhorse for this team, as he had 26 attempts on Saturday.
Yeah, it seems like I really like to see what Coach Beck did with his – he kind of made a lot of adjustments from this game versus the Iowa game. He stuck with what they're good at, and if you're going to have a good home game with Western Illinois' Parents Weekend here at ISU – you got to put on a show at home again for your first home game. And it seems like this has got to be the direction you're going with. You're still losing a lot of guys. More bodies got hurt in the last game, too. So you got to make sure you get out this one very healthy, and that's going to be kind of the catalyst for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I don't really know how to predict this Western Illinois game is going to go. If I'm being honest, I thought Illinois State was going to win more against North Alabama, so only 24-17 is a little concerning. And I really don't know if Western Illinois is good or bad at the game of football because they went against NIU and Indiana, you know, Julian's Huskies, and they didn't put on good performances, but those are those are FBS caliber teams. So how good they are is kind of unknown, and I hope Illinois State's ready for that unpredictability they could be seeing.
Something else that we could kind of mention here, it feels like we have a starting quarterback. I don't know how it's still going to work because Rubley still had five attempts, but Rittenhouse really got the big load in terms of playing time. So he went 13 for 21, 142 yards, a touchdown, interception, and of course those 102 rushing yards on six attempts is pretty insane. So really good day for him, and it kind of just feels like they're going to be loyal and stick with the guy that's been around the program for so long.
Yeah, where's the FCS Fantasy Football League when you need it? Because Tommy Rittenhouse would be an absolute unit in there. It's just the fact that not only do you have a guy that can manage the game through passing, but can also be so unpredictable on the feet, it's just something the Redbirds haven't seen in a while. You know, they normally have these quarterbacks that are so pass-heavy and can't really scramble on the feet. So this seems like something Coach Beck hasn't had at his helm in a long time.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of an old-school type of offense that Coach Beck runs all the time. Mm-hmm. And it seems like now he's kind of noticing it's more modern-day football, and you have to have a guy that could run in the backfield. So having Rittenhouse, a guy that has good legs, but also somebody that's been developing his arm by game, all the good plays from passing wise are going to happen. Like, it's all going to come around during the season, but knowing that he already is very talented with his legs and that he's just going to get better with his arm throughout the season is very good to see from Coach Beck.
Something else of note that I've just kind of been keeping my eye on, it's still early and injuries obviously happened early on. The Redbirds, in terms of their wide receiver core, lost Eddie Casper for the first 4 weeks, we were told, at Iowa. And Sopkowitz, he's been a little quiet. We know he's the guy. He's their number one wide receiver. But really, it's been, in terms of when you look at both games, it's kind of been this freshman, Dylan Lord, from Chandler, Arizona. I mean, he's led the Redbirds in receiving yards in both games thus far this season, had six receptions and 52 yards against North Alabama. So just kind of the Redbirds, even though they're such a run-heavy team, it feels like they just keep producing really, really solid wide receivers. And considering Dylan Lord's a freshman, I mean, that's a really good start to a career considering how the two outcomes of the game have gone.
I mean, that's kind of massive for the Redbirds. I know this is kind of a stretch for a comparison, but like I want to look at like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, where everyone was kind of stressing Puka after the season he had last year, and then suddenly Cooper Kupp just emerges, gets 21 targets out of nowhere. So if you can get everybody worried about this new guy and Dylan Lord, and then you just let Sopkowitz blow up out of nowhere, Illinois State can have plenty of weapons in front of them.
Yeah, I feel like Sopkowitz's talent is just through the roof for this team. He had over 900 yards last season. If you're going to be very quiet in the beginning of the season, then coaches are going to game plan for the other guys, and that's going to leave out a huge game for Sopkowitz. And I have a feeling that like it's going to come at some type of home game, maybe to this weekend, maybe not. But Sopkowitz is still a very good player. He has a very high potential. He's only a junior right now at 6'3", 205, so sky's the limit for him.
Let's take a look ahead. This is obviously a big week here on this campus. Western Illinois at noon, live here on WZND. It's Liam Lyons and Joey LeMaster on the call, so we're excited for that one. And then just three straight home games after that, so just really exciting stuff against some solid teams. Western Illinois, Eastern Illinois, North Dakota State. But let's look at this weekend. Obviously, Joey, you mentioned Western Illinois 0-2 with a weird little part of the schedule, at least starting NIU, a 54-15 loss, and we know the Huskies have actually been really good this year. And then, of course, just getting absolutely the brakes blown out at Indiana last week, 77-3. So I feel like this is their first real test to kind of show where they're at as the easier part of the schedule comes up. But they got to go through the Redbirds first, who is currently number 19 in the coaches' poll.
Yeah, absolutely. And just Western Illinois, they have to try and figure out the Illinois State rushing attack, because that's always been Coach Beck's game plan. It's just defensive running the ball. If Illinois State can run the ball at will, it's just going to be a rough weekend for Western Illinois, and they can project to go 0-3.
You got to keep your defense off the field as much as possible. But you got to hold on to the ball as an offense. You have to control the clock, because like we saw in the Iowa game, this defense is very talented. Last game, they showed it again. It just depends on how long the offense can hold the possession of the ball and see if they could really run the ball out like they did last game.
So that's all for football. Obviously, once again, noon on Saturday, 11:50 pregame time. That is Western Illinois versus the Redbirds. Joey LeMaster and Liam Lyons on the call. But let's take a quick look before we send it to break at our friends over at Volleyball. After kind of a tough start to the season, they found a nice little streak here. Even though they lost to St. Louis in the Billiken Invitational, they went 2 of 3 there. So 3-4 on the season right now, and really just against some really tough opponents. So I don't think there's a lot to hang your head over. I think it's a solid start for these Redbirds.
No, like, I know it's going to be kind of crazy to say about a losing record, but this is a spectacular start for the Redbirds. I'm not sure if we remember last year, but out of conference play, they started off the season 0-9.
Yeah.
So now they're going against these tougher caliber teams, and they're putting up a fight. Like, they're able to steal a set from Urbana-Champaign, and then they're getting wins against the likes of Xavier, Army, and Bellarmine as well. So this team has clearly improved since last season. It's because of all this work they put in the transfer portal and getting these freshmen. They got a whole new team, and Coach Allie Matters, man, she's having some fun.
Yeah, this team looking really good right now. I have a feeling that this, like we said, there's a lot of transfer portals, a lot of new freshmen coming in, but you still have a good couple leaders with Ada Shadewald and Hannah Reichensberger. So there's a lot of potential with this team right now. You got St. Thomas coming up, Milwaukee, then you got Iowa, another big game. So these next couple of weeks are going to be pretty tough, but we're kind of going to see how good this team can really be from here.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned the upcoming schedule. So this weekend, they will be headed to Milwaukee for the Panther Invitational. Well, they'll have three there. Then after that, the Owls Paradise Classic. They're going to Florida. Oh,
that must be
awesome.
Must be fun.
Should we ask Steve to call that one?
I mean, should we call him in? Yeah, hey, we're going to Florida. Owl Paradise Classic, where they'll get FAU, Stetson, and Mercer. Then they are back home against Murray State on September 27th. That will be live here on WZND starting at 5:50. So really, once again, as you said, Joey, I would not hang your head over the start, because it is a lot better than what they did last year, and it feels like they're having a lot of fun too, and it just the team looks a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely, and when you go to the coaches' preseason poll, Illinois State wasn't the best team last year, but they were projected to finish third or fourth heading into the season. So the fact that they're showing this quality before they even get in Missouri Valley Conference play just says a lot about the caliber of the team we are seeing this season.
Like I mean, it's very important to just see how much a team progresses from the beginning to the end of the season, and especially for volleyball, you're playing so many games throughout the season. So it just depends on how they finish versus how they start.
Once again, Redbirds back at home September 27th, but we have football live September 4th, this Saturday, Western Illinois, Illinois State. That starts at 11:50. When we come back, we're going to go back over week one of the NFL season here on the Red Zone. Pulse of Redbird Nation back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Joey LeMaster, and we talked about it last week. Joey, you weren't here, but football was back in full force, and man, did it feel good to just sit there and watch NFL football for 15 straight hours.
Yeah, that was Ben's big flex of the weekend, to be able to lock in for all 15 hours, and he was there having the time of his life. I unfortunately missed the afternoon games to get a quick pump in, but everything else was incredible to watch.
I mean, you said it last weekend, it's like a holiday. It felt like a whole entire holiday, that whole weekend. You're just always having something on your TV to watch. And there's a lot of good games the whole weekend.
Yeah, we're going to go through the games now, starting from all the way last week. I was just going to do the Sunday games, but honestly, the other two games were so great that I want to touch on them. We're going to start off on Thursday. Chiefs, defending champion Chiefs, getting back in the win column, beating the Baltimore Ravens 27-20 in one of the best season openers I've seen in a while. Isaiah Likely should likely wear white cleats because he was just out of bounds, mere inches away from sending that game to overtime. What a game to start the year.
I love that game. Honestly, it was just kind of what we expected between the two teams. A lot of competitiveness right away, but I really expected them to use Mark Andrews more often, but Isaiah Likely came out right away showing that he was maybe their tight end one right now, maybe not. I don't think Andrews is all that healthy right now, but it was a good game from both sides.
I mean, I still have a lot of faith in Andrews, and no, I am not saying it's because he's on my fantasy football team, but there's a statistic throughout all Mark Andrews' career, this was the most he was ever double teamed, but yet he was still on the field for 95% of the plays on offense. Like, the opportunities are going to come. It's just Kansas City knew who they wanted to get out of the game, and they successfully cemented that game plan. It's just, it almost did not work out just by a toe.
Yeah. So Chiefs getting up to a 1-0 start. We're going to talk about them later in the show as they are in our pick six. But let's go to Brazil, where the Eagles take down the Packers. And as much as it was an incredible game for Saquon Barkley, scoring three touchdowns in your debut, I think the big story from this one was the injury to Jordan Love that you just do not want to see week one of the NFL season.
Sucks a lot for the Packers. I mean, not, you can't even lie about that. Bears fan or not, it sucks to see that from a team right away. Sucks to see injuries, but Malik Willis has huge shoes to fill in right away, and it's a huge schedule for them coming up to have a good start to the season because you have a lot of competitiveness right away in the NFC North.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be a lot of pressure on the Packers because Jordan Love and Malik Willis are two completely different quarterbacks. Jordan Love loves to use his arm while Malik Willis loves to use his leg. So how the Packers are going to implement a style offense to surround Malik Willis is going to be a big question mark for them in these upcoming weeks.
Seems like Jordan Love, they avoided anything super big because I'm hearing that he's like trying to get back by next week already. I doubt he will. I think the Packers are going to try and slow him down because they don't want to just lose their quarterback that they just spent a boatload of money on. But either way, I hope he's okay because as much as, you know, we could all be Bears fans and, you know, seeing the Packers lose is awesome. Jordan Love's one of the best, like, fun prospects in the league, especially after the whole story last year with him. It's just been, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he's exciting to watch. He just makes throws that a lot of players in the NFL just don't have the physicality to do, like throwing off his back foot. Like, he can just do a little bit of everything. So it is very unfortunate. And as a real football fan, you don't wish an injury on any player, even if it's a rival.
And one of the most disgusting games of the day, we're not, I don't even think there was one touchdown scored. The Steelers managed to find their way past the Atlanta Falcons. The real star of this one was Chris Boswell, who just went absolutely ballistic. 6 for 6 from field goal range, all 50-plus yards, and he started punting. He started punting for them, too. Yes, because their punter ended up getting hurt, and he's out of the season, so I don't know if he's going to punt it for the rest of the year. But either way, Justin Fields, in his first game, leads the Steelers to victory. Kirk Cousins didn't look too great in this one.
I mean, if you're a Bears fan, I don't know how you don't want to see Justin Fields still succeed. He's still very talented. I know he's not supposed to be the starter right now because of Russell Wilson, but I think he's going to end up being their starter at some point throughout the whole season. But I think he played well as a game manager during that game. He made some correct throws. Obviously, didn't have a touchdown, but they looked like a pretty good team, and George Pickens looked like a good wide receiver.
I mean, you see some growth in Fields, you know, being more smart on making the right read and being able to read the pocket. But I just want to talk about NFL kickers real quick. 21 field goals made from 50-plus yards in week one shatters the NFL record of 13 or 14.
And the Cowboys were about to go for that 70-yard one with Aubrey. I wanted them to do it so bad. I was so disappointed.
I think he would have made it, too, like, so serious. That guy can hit from any range. Stephen Curry of kicking.
He's really good. And I'm pretty sure he was a soccer player at Notre Dame.
He was.
Yeah, that's crazy. He never played a day of football in his life.
Of course he was.
34-28, Buffalo Bills, who we'll be seeing tonight, take down the Cardinals. I enjoyed, this was such a fun game. The Cardinals offense looks awesome, even though their first round pick and their Lord and Savior Marvin Harrison was non-existent. I just want to say this. We could talk about the Cardinals a little bit if we want to, but Josh Allen is going to win the MVP this year. He is single-handedly going to put that team on his back, and it is so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to ride that train as well, because I was not a big fan of Buffalo heading into the season. But hey, if Josh Allen can do that against a team against the caliber of the Cardinals, who I think are madly underrated, the Bills are just going to be a fun team to watch. Josh Allen's going to throw for like 50 touchdowns and maybe 18 picks. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, he looked great during this. He looked great during that game. I'm not even going to lie. I thought the Bills were going to lose that one. I thought the Cardinals were going to kind of sneak away with an upset. But my big thing for this game is please get Maserati Marv the ball. Get him the ball. I know that there's some.
I know you got some shares on
him. I have
some
a
fantasy.
Whole lot. He's on like every single one of my fantasy teams. I mean, there's boom, 1 point.
Did you see that Kyler Murray quote from the other day?
Yes.
It's not his job to find Marvin Harrison.
And he was wide open at the end of the game for a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah. What is wide his job? If his job isn't to find Marvin Harrison, what is his job? Just to go out there and look pretty?
His job is to play Call of Duty. No, I'm just kidding. It kind of is. The Bears, 1-0, Chicago Bears. I keep seeing this quote from a fellow podcaster, Big Cat, and he said, if the Bears lost on Sunday, I think this would have been the worst week of our lives, just because absolutely. Of the fact of how Caleb Williams played. Mm-hmm. But, man, let me tell you, that defense, that special teams, they are elite. They looked so good. They single-handedly pulled them back from a 17-0 drought. It was impressive out of the defense.
Except for Velus Jones.
Velus Jones is the worst. But, I mean, just all around, Jalen Johnson is still like the best cornerback in the league. Yes. Tyrique Stevenson in year two is already winning Defensive Player of the Week awards. I mean, it is. I still think it's exciting. We'll see what happens this week. We're going to talk about it later. But we could just touch on it really quick. Not the best start from Caleb Williams
It's a rookie in week one going against a solid defense. But all we're going to say is if this defense stays this strong and this offense comes around, I'm going to have a lot to say come week 18.
Oh, 100%. We might be talking big games here.
I mean, for me, Caleb did have a pretty bad game. The offensive line looked horrendous to me.
So bad.
The interior line was my biggest issue the whole year. Coleman Shelton did not look good. Nate Davis is non-existent during any practice. That's not going to win you football games, having two bad players on such important pieces of the O-line. But Caleb, I think it's all going to come at one point. Like, he even admitted all of his flaws in the press after the game, so he's gonna build up all of his flaws right away.
Yeah, it's just the big thing for Caleb is you want a confident quarterback, but he's a little too confident. Like, that 19-yard sack he took in the first quarter is just a little too confident. You got to get the ball away. Like, I know you have the ability to make a big play, but if you keep making mistakes like that, it's going to end up haunting you.
All right, let's move on. Biggest upset of the week. I don't think anyone saw this one coming. 16-10, New England Patriots going to Cincinnati and upset Joe Burrow and the Bengals in his first game back. Did not see this one coming, fellas.
No, this was an exciting hate watch for me because I'm not the biggest Joe Burrow fan. But just it seems like there's problems brewing in Cincy. Like, they're still trying to figure out this Ja'Marr Chase scenario. Like, he turned down 4 years, $140 million, which is a boatload of money. So it just seems like there's issues going on in the locker room in Cincinnati, but we've seen it every year. They have an awful start to the season and then still find their way into the postseason. So if they turn it around, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I kind of do like this new vibe of the Patriots, though. New head coach in, Jacoby Brissett's kind of their bridge quarterback, but their defense seems so much fun this year. Jabril Peppers had a great game, and then they got some more younger guys like Christian Gonzalez that were hooping that whole game. So I kind of do like how this Patriots team has been playing, and they'll be interesting to look at. I don't think they're going to be good at all, but they're kind of interesting. I
mean, it's cool to have a coach like Jared Mayo, you know, just being able to be a New England guy at one point, especially on the defensive side of the ball, just implement that style of play. It's fun to support.
The Texans 29, Colts 27. What a game this was. This was so much fun to watch. Just an offensive shootout. I think the Colts have a really good offense. Anthony Richardson is here. Great game.
I mean, this game kind of just showed how good this Colts team can be. In conference right here, in division with the Texans and the Colts, it's going to be a very big rivalry between CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson coming up in head.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if this are two teams that don't end up playing each other three times. They're going to play again in the regular season. I would not be surprised if they met up in the postseason as well. Both teams just have such exciting offense. It's fun football you can always root for.
20-17, Miami Dolphins beat the Jaguars in a battle of two Floridian teams. Tyreek Hill got arrested before the game, but still showed out 7 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. We're going to see the Dolphins again tonight.
That's such an explosive team to watch. I mean, you have speed at every single position on offense, and then you just have it with a good defense on the other side. I think they're going to be dangerous all year.
Yeah, this game just hurt, though, because Tyreek and Tua just killed me in fantasy. The guy I was going against had Tua and Tyreek, and you get the double points. It was game over, so I'm unfortunately not a fan of the Dolphins after that.
After an early slate that was just so much fun, and two of these games are still from the early slate, but we're going to go through them really quickly. Saints 47, Panthers 10, there's nothing to talk about there besides maybe the fact that the Panthers are the worst team in football again. The Minnesota Vikings 28-6 over the Giants. I wouldn't put too much into it if you're the Vikings, but Sam Darnold looks solid. Giants are just as bad as the Panthers. Chargers 22, Raiders 10, really, once again, Jim Harbaugh's first win back. J.K. Dobbins was really the story out of that one. And then Seahawks 26, Broncos 20, once again, really not much to talk about here, other than Kenneth Walker having a really solid game. Let's get to the Cowboys and Browns. 33-17. There is trouble a-brewing in Cleveland, and it's not just the fact that Deshaun Watson has a new allegation on him every single day of the year, but it's also the fact that he might not be very good anymore.
I mean, when you have like $240 million guaranteed, what's the point of going out into practice? Because at the end of the day, you're still going to get paid, and let's say you end up underperforming, they're going to buy out your contract. So I don't understand what his motivation would be, especially with all the hatred you get from your fans. It's just someone that's not going to end up trying, and Cleveland is in for some trouble, as you said, Ben.
Yeah, straight up, he just sucks. He's just not a good football player. He just is so non-existent on the field nowadays. He's just horrible. I don't like this. Him having being their quarterback at all. Joe Flacco plays so much better than him last season. You got rid of Baker Mayfield, and look at what he's doing in Tampa Bay. He's just balling out there right now. So they're going back to the Cleveland Browns that we knew before.
I don't see them being this bad this year. That defense is like the best in the NFL. I can't believe that every time we've seen him in the last, 2.5 years in Cleveland. Is this year 3 in Cleveland?
Yes.
Yep.
That's crazy. They haven't looked good with him at all. And then you put in a backup quarterback, and it's like, all right. So I don't know. We might be seeing Jameis Winston. I am totally
fine.
I'd be so moved.
All right. Buccaneers 37, Commanders 20. Once again, a blowout. Jaden Daniels' first game. But Baker Mayfield put on an early ticket for MVP with this one. He looked phenomenal.
Bucky Irving looked very good, too. He looked very good. He's one of my dynasty stashes, too.
I mean, my buddy always says this whenever we see Bucky. He tackled him in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shout out David. Tackled Bucky Irving in high school. So he always says that whenever we end up seeing him on the field. But, yeah. All right. Lions, 26. To Steve Cease's delight. To the Rams, 20. Matthew Stafford loses once again in his return to the Motor City. Lions, I think they are really, besides maybe the Chiefs, the second best team in the National Football League.
Don't forget
right
about
now.
My Chicago Bears in that sentence. But anyways, it's just the Lions just have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. It's just like, you got to stop Gibbs, you got to stop Laporta, you got to stop St. Brown, which the Rams did successfully. Yeah. Then here comes David Montgomery in overtime, just having a field day looking like a man amongst boys. But if you're a Rams fan, you just kind of want to rip your hair out watching these games against the Lions, because you always get so close to finishing the job, and then you just come up short, first in the playoffs, and now this. The Rams, I know they want to get that revenge against the Lions so bad, because they played well.
I mean, yeah, it was a good game from the beginning to the finish, but the Lions were passing it out all game, and in OT, they just ran the ball the whole time. Like, that just shows how dangerous this team can possibly be.
I don't want to put it out there into the world, because I don't want to see the Lions win this year, because the Bears are supposed to be good. But just the way that crowd reacted and everything, it just feels like a team of destiny. It really, like, it has the vibe of 2016 Cubs. Like, when we went into that year, I don't think they were necessarily, like, the favorite, but everyone in America kind of had this idea in their head, like, if they're going to do it any year ever, it's going to be this year. I feel like the Lions, it's the same way.
Yeah, but Dan Campbell, he likes to take one too many risks. It would not surprise me that ends up biting the Lions.
But that could end up winning them things too. It killed them this postseason against the Niners, but it can also win. Like, it helped on set. It works. It really does. I don't know. We'll see. But one more game really quick. 49ers, Jets, Jordan Mason game. I think that's the best way to put it. I'm sorry, any CMC owner that does not have his handcuff. That was definitely unforeseen that he wasn't going to play. But the 49ers are back. They're going to be good per usual. And the Jets might be in for another frustrating season.
Yeah, Robert Saleh definitely on the hot seat. He has more double-digit losses with the Jets than he does wins.
That's
I think
crazy.
That's an unreal statistic.
I did not think their offense looked all that great. For all the talk about them, Rodgers played all right. Garrett Wilson played all right. But Alan Lazard is like their top guy. So, like, I don't know how this team's going to look throughout the whole year.
You can't build around that. And Breece had a good day in fantasy, but really didn't have that good of a game in real life as well.
More NFL football coming your way, but we're going to invite Jaden Cohen on the show, and we're going to talk some Bloomington Bison here on the Red Zone. ZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Bosch, Joey LeMaster, and joined in studio by Jaden Cohen, our lovely intern. Welcome to the show, Jaden.
Thank you, Ben. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for joining us. You brought something special for us today. Recently, you interviewed Coach Barsky of the Bloomington Bison, who will be dropping the puck, I guess is a good way to say it, on their season pretty shortly here. So you want to just kind of tell us a little bit about this interview before we play it for the people?
Yeah, definitely. Coach Barsky is that interview. He's one of the nicest people I've ever talked to. He just had a whole game plan going into the season. He had experience on the collegiate level, and he's ready to just take the game of hockey to this Bloomington and just have something new for the Bloomington community.
That's super exciting. We're going to hear more from Coach Barsky right now here on the Red Zone.
My first question for you is, what background in hockey like led you to take this position?
You know, I played hockey all the way up until 25. I was a Division I scholarship athlete at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, and then I ended up playing 3 years at the University of Calgary. I guess my career was cut short due to concussions and injuries, and just kind of lost the love of the game. But, you know, I'm going to be entering this year my 15th year of coaching. I've coached in North America and in Europe, and coached at, you know, pretty much every level of hockey except for the American League level and the National Hockey League level. So I think, you know, based on sort of those experiences, that's kind of what's led me to this point.
And then speaking of coaching, what would you say is your mindset as a coach and what drives you?
I mean, I think what drives me is winning. You know, I love to compete, and I love the process that it takes to have success. So I think when you look at practice, you know, your ability to prepare your athletes at a better or higher rate than your competitors, and then see that play out in a game situation where there's clearly, you know, a team that's going to win and a team that's going to lose, you know, that's something that really, you know, drives me to, you know, prepare our athletes.
And then I recently read that you spoke to the Bloomington Council. What did you ask them?
I was asked by Jeff Juergens to sort of share, you know, let's say, you know, so I got hired here roughly 80 days ago, and he just asked if, you know, I could come to City Council and give a behind the scenes sneak peek at, you know, sort of what we've been doing over that time. And so I put together a PowerPoint presentation to share all the exciting things that I believe are happening, you know, with the Bloomington Bison.
And speaking on that, what do you expect, like, the Bloomington Bison can bring to the community?
I think the fact that we're a professional sports team and we do, you know, the ECHL or the East Coast Hockey League that we play in is a really high caliber of hockey. You know, we are two levels below the National Hockey League. We will have players here on AHL contracts. We will have players here on NHL contracts. We'll have, you know, very good ECHL players here. So I think from that standpoint, we can bring an entertainment value, you know, especially to an arena that had been, you know, for the most part, vacant over the past few years. But I think first and foremost, we can bring some entertainment value. But more importantly, the one thing that I've really stressed since I've been hired here and something that's very important to me is our ability to connect with the community and connect with, you know, institutions like yourself at Illinois State, or whether it's with the Bloomington community, and that can be business leaders, that can be city council, you know, leaders, that can also be just obviously the regular, you know, citizens of Bloomington. So I think from that standpoint, it's something that we want to be very connected to the community.
What are some of your goals heading into this new season?
Just winning the day. We're very process driven. So I think it's important that every day we find ways, either as an organization, as a hockey ops staff, as a front office staff, to find ways to get better and just, you know, really sort of wake up early, work long into the night, and just find ways to every day win the day.
What are some of the key players? Like, what are players that residents of Bloomington should look out for?
Man, we've been really fortunate. So, you know, if I look at this from 80 days ago, I think that early on, what we were really trying to convey to prospective hockey players and why we thought Bloomington was going to be special or a special place to be was that idea that we are an expansion team and that we could offer a larger platform to make a bigger impact. We had no returning players. So I think if, you know, what we did in the first sort of 30 to 50 days was, I thought we did a very good job identifying, we'll call them rookies or players that haven't played in the league, that we thought their skills would transfer very well to the ECHL level. And I thought we did a good job of bringing in those types of players. What we ended up doing in the last, let's say, you know, 30 to 35 days was we focused on the players that were coming off two-way or one-way American League deals. And we really wanted to entice them to join our group. And because we had laid the foundation for the sort of the we'll call them rookies for lack of a better term, that allowed us to go after some proven high-end ECHL/AHL players to bring into our organization.
Do you have anything else you want to add about either the team, the any other goals, any other expectations that residents of the community should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that comes to mind, and it's one thing that I did share at City Council, historically, if you look in the ECHL, the expansion teams have not done well in their inaugural season. And you can look no further than Iowa in our division, or Savannah in a division that I used to coach in. The one thing that we've really tried to differentiate ourselves from those two expansion teams is with the use of analytics. And I think the other thing is I've surrounded myself with some really competent people. And we hired Dan Larmer as an assistant GM. We hired Jesse Messier as an assistant coach. We've also built out an analytic department in order to try and find some undervalued assets. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, secure summer camp roster spots for those players. So we've really tried to sort of shoulder the responsibility with some really competent people to help us have a different outcome. And we do expect to be very competitive in our first season.
We could talk about it. My mic just completely fell off. My mic just fell off the podium or whatever, so I completely lost it. Oh, man. That could have gotten any worse right there.
No, not at all, but the way you stay calm and composed really just says a lot about my host, my producer.
No, but Jada, once again, thank you for bringing that in. That was a great interview, and we're going to have some more.
I'm looking forward to getting some more coverage.
And you mentioned it too. Like, he's excited. I mean, you seemed like you had a really good time with him, and seems like we're gonna have a lot of coverage. So just for the community, just to bring in a team like that, something we really don't have. We have the Corn Belters over the summer, but once again, that's just like a collegiate team. To have like a team like this for this community, I think it's exciting.
Yeah, and the Grossinger event, like the venue they have, it's really nice. So you gotta have something to be in use of it. So the fact they got a hockey team in this can be real exciting for the community, as you said, Ben.
All right, once again, thank you, Jaden. When we come back, we're going to do pick six here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone, sponsored by Sammy Apartments, Ben Hootie, Julian Boss, Joey LeMaster, and Jaden Cohen. And we're back with pick six, another week of pick six. Joey wasn't here last week, but man, did he have a good week. Went 5-1, while our great faculty advisor, Steve Cease, went 5-1. Myself and Julian went 4-2. And our guest last week, Liam Lyons, going a 500 at 3-3. So, Jaden, you got some weight to pull here today.
I got to pick up Liam's slack. I'm ready.
Oh, man. So, once again, another exciting week of football. We're starting tonight on Thursday, the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Joey, I'll kick it to you first for your pick. But before we get to that, Steve Cease is going with the Dolphins tonight.
Yeah, and also with Steve, I am riding the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel in the month of September is 7-1. When the weather's warm, the Dolphins, they show out. And as much as I love Josh Allen, that performance he had, the Dolphins are just a better team than the Cardinals. I don't think Josh Allen's going to be able to get wins week in and week out.
Yeah, give me the Dolphins, too. I think we just found out that A-Chain's coming back tonight, so that's huge having some more speed coming around a pretty decent kind of mid-Bills roster on the defensive side. So, yeah, give me the Dolphins this week.
Jaden, what you got?
I'm going to join with them. I'm going with the Dolphins. I think the combination with Tua and Tyreek is just a scary 1-2 combo. And now that they have A-Chain, I think they're just going to blow right through that Buffalo Bill defense.
Blow right through them. I disagree. I get taking the Bills. It could either be me getting a point ahead of all of you or me slowly getting away from you. But I'm taking the Bills. I was talking about it when we were doing our recap. I think, first of all, big fan of the Dolphins. I have A-Chain and Tua in fantasy. Those are my starters. So I kind of want to root for them. But they might still have a great game. It's going to be a shootout tonight in Miami, and I'm excited for it. But Josh Allen is going to win the MVP this year. He is like Superman out there, and I think he's going to single-handedly carry this Bills team to so many wins. I saw it last week. They were just trying. The Cardinals were giving them every single chance not to win, and the Bills just fought right through, and I'm going to say it. It was mostly because of Josh Allen. Colts, Packers. Steve is riding with the Colts. Joey, what you got?
Joey is also riding with the Colts. I think Anthony Richardson, I'm not saying he's going to win it, but he is such a dark horse for MVP. The arm talent he has is ridiculous. And on the flip side, I'm just not a Malik Willis believer at all. I never liked him at Liberty. I didn't like him in Tennessee. I don't think he's had much help in Green Bay. And so give me the Colts by 10.
Yeah, give me the Colts, too. Anthony Richardson's my dog. He's my fantasy quarterback.
That's my dog.
He's great.
That's my
he's a 6'3", like 250-pound quarterback, and his arm's getting better and better by each game. He's only started, like, what, 18 games now?
Yeah,
total.
It's horrifying.
So, yeah, they got a very talented roster. Let me see the Colts.
I'm going to go with the Colts as well.
We're having fun.
If the Packers did have Jordan Love, I will say there might be a little bit of competition there, but I'm going with the Colts. Richardson is just, he's got speed. He's got an arm. He's just, he's a dog, like you said, Joey.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you guys on this one. It's the Colts. It's pick six. We're all picking them. We're all picking the Colts. And mostly, I think I would have led with the Packers if Jordan Love was playing in this one. But really, just him not being there just makes such a difference. What we've seen from Malik Willis in the NFL has not been good. It has been borderline embarrassing, the kind of career he's put together. And honestly, we've kind of known it since draft night. He was supposed to be a first-round pick, and somehow he fell all the way to what, the third round?
Third round.
So the Titans didn't believe in him. They drafted another quarterback almost immediately after they drafted him. And I just think, you know, they did trade for him, and maybe they see something, but frankly, I just think the Colts, everything you guys have said about Anthony Richardson. I think they're a sleeper team this year. I really do. I think not enough people are talking about them, and it's really because of what Anthony Richardson brings to the field. I think they're a really good team, and the Packers are just in for some dumb luck over the next couple weeks with the fact that Jordan Love's out. So now let's move on to a really, really good, exciting game. I'm excited for this one, at least. Rams versus Cardinals. We saw what the Cardinals did last week, almost defeating the Buffalo Bills, and the Rams going to overtime with the Lions. Both 0-1, so someone's got to start the season with a win. Joey, who are you going with?
So this is actually a last-second change by me. I was really riding with the Cardinals because of the injury of Puka. But I remember Stafford's just going to target Cooper Kupp 30 times a game.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is maybe the only quarterback in the league that just needs one receiver. And the Rams, they still looked incredible against the Lions. They have a great defense going with them. They have a offense that's filled with star power. So, like, you got Kyron Williams in the backfield as well. Don't let him blow up as well. And the Cardinals, they kind of let the Bills just run at will on them in the second half, and that's why they're able to make that comeback. I think the Rams' offense is just as good as the Bills. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, I kind of have the Rams this week, too. It's going to be a very good game, though. I feel like it's going to be the Marvin Harrison game, low-key, hopefully, on my side. But
please.
But the Rams look very good, and I think their defensive line is very underrated. It's a very, very, very young offensive line, defensive line, I mean. Jared Verse is on it. Kobe Turner's on it. They got another rookie on the other side. So I think it'll be a fun, exciting game against two very young teams on the trenches.
I'm also going Rams. I've also always been a Stafford fan. I just think him paired with Cooper Kupp is just, they got good, great chemistry.
It's insane.
And I got Kyron on the fantasy team, so kind of got a root for them. But Cardinals, it's going to be a close game, like you said.
Yeah, neither of these teams deserve to be 0-2 at all.
No.
Yeah. Someone's got to get their first win.
I think it's going to be a shootout. And I am kind of like drinking the juice of the Cardinals this year, but I just can't. I really like the Rams in this one. It's just, you guys have all mentioned Matt Stafford, and you know it was so hard to see him hurt for like that a minute after the Super Bowl, and it's kind of just impressive the fact that they were able to win that championship, or what they've done since they've won the championship. They have been able to build a roster through the draft, and we've known it for the longest time how good Sean McVay and everyone in that front office is with scouting, and they've been able to turn their roster back into a perennial playoff team, and it's mostly because of Stafford and Cooper Kupp. I think they're a great team, and I think they're going to have to beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of deja vu from last week when we all picked the Cardinals and Steve picked the Bills. Now we all picked the Rams, and Steve is picking the Cardinals.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous now. I wish I didn't switch it.
You got to ride
we'll
it.
Fine.
We were talking
we'll
way
fine.
Too highly about the Rams for us not to pick them. So we're all going with the Rams in that one. Next up, Bengals and Chiefs. We saw what the Chiefs did last week, barely beating the Ravens, but damn, did they look good. And the Bengals, does not look good in Cincinnati, but could they bounce back against a team that, for the most part, they own their number?
Yeah, give me Chiefs. I don't know how anybody can be confident in the Bengals after that Patriots performance and expect a bounce back. There's just, as I said earlier, there's just too much drama going on. The offensive line is just not good enough, and Joe Burrow just doesn't have the legs to escape that pressure. The Chiefs are going to have a fun day, especially with the defensive line the Chiefs have. I think they're going to make Joe Burrow regret playing the game of football.
I mean, yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to win this one. I can't bet against them 2 weeks in a row. It's just not possible to do that. And Joe Burrow, if you saw the last game, he was kind of like whipping around with his wrist that he hurt last season a little bit. He's kind of like shaking it around a little bit. It doesn't seem like he's all that healthy. Ja'Marr Chase is having contract issues. T. Higgins has been hurt. So, like, that team's kind of in a dumpster fire right now.
I'm also going to go to Chiefs. I got Mahomes in the fantasy league. But just the Bengals looked a little lost out there last week. Joe Burrow just didn't have the magic touch like he did in previous years. And I think the Chiefs are going to run away with this one.
Yeah, I'm a Bengals. I love the Bengals, but I just cannot see them beating the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are really locked down for this one. And yeah, it really feels like it is trouble in Cincy, but we have seen them get off to bad starts before and still make an insane run. So hopefully Burrow's healthy. I think he's healthy. He says he's healthy, but he looks like he couldn't pick up that water bottle the other day. So I don't know what's going on there. But I really do like the Chiefs in this one. Pat Mahomes, Kelce, that defense looked just as good as they ever have on Thursday night. So give me the Chiefs in this one, and we're all picking the Chiefs as we ride into Sunday night. mm-hmm. the marquee matchup of two of the most exciting young prospects in football. One of them is already a superstar after his rookie year in C.J. Stroud, and Caleb Williams playing in his first ever primetime game, only in week two, Texans versus Bears. Where are we going with this one, fellas?
I mean, I hate saying this, but the Texans are probably going to win this game. Yes, the Bears team is very young and very exciting, and I think this would be a close game, but Romo Dunze is most likely out. Keenan Allen might or might not be out, so this would be a very tough game for them.
I'm also a Bears fan, but I'm going to go with the Texans. I think Stroud has that extra year of experience, and Williams, in that last game, he just... Yes, it was the first game, but he just did not look like himself, and the defense carried. But if the defense could stick with it, maybe it'll be a competitive game, but I think Texas just has a leg up in this one.
Choi is trying to go for a slam dunk right now. It's like that meme of Venom dunking on Spider-Man.
Just wait.
I think I know why, because I'm also taking the Texans. I went on this run last year in pick six where I always picked against the Bears and they would win. Vice versa, when I picked them, they'd always lose. So I'm riding with the Texans this week just because I want the Bears to win. I feel like I'm bad luck against them. But everything you guys said, that Texans offense, did you see how much of the clock they controlled in that? I mean, the Colts were scoring quick. So, I mean, it's credit to them. But, like, she just shot through the ball 32 times on Sunday. Joe Mixon carried the ball 30 times.
That's crazy.
It's absurd. This offense, I mean, it was already good last year, but just getting Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs changes the game. And I really hope the Bears win this one. I know Joey's going to have points here. So, Joey, just give it to us. We know who you're going with.
Stroud boys this, Stephon Diggs that. This is the Caleb Williams show. And can you Diggs that? He's making his debut in primetime. Caleb Williams has been waiting for that special moment. I know it's kind of rocky to start it off, but I know Caleb Williams is going to shake that rust off. He's going to make a performance of a lifetime, and people will remember the name after Sunday night. Give me the Bears.
I love it. I'm hoping that happens. We're all rooting for
you. Thank you.
And that got me hyped. It makes me want to change
my
pick,
wall?
But I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, Steve also riding with the Texans, to the surprise of no one.
Monday night, Falcons and Eagles. The Eagles looked like a team that is trying to get back to that big game this year with the addition of Saquon Barkley and his three touchdowns on Friday. And the Falcons, who we have hyped up on this show many times, looked like a shell of themselves. And Falcons team that we've definitely seen in the past, they looked like that on Sunday. So a big one here on Monday night, the Eagles can build some momentum or the Falcons can pull up an upset.
I like the Eagles tonight by a lot of points. I mean, like, this team is very good. I think they're going to make the big game. I think this is their year to really lose. So, yeah, give me the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, they have a solid defense. And I'm just going to say this could be the hot take. I'm not sure how we're feeling. The Eagles just have the best offense in football. There is not a weak point. You look at their weakest point is arguably their quarterback, who's still top 10. Like, you have Saquon Barkley. You have a receiving core of dreams. You have an awesome offensive line. The Eagles offense is just unreal. And I would be surprised if I did not pick them week after week after week.
What about the center?
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
He ain't bad.
No, I know he is not bad. Yeah. Besides that one, you saw the one thing last week where he was, Hurts was not ready for it, and he just decided to snap it.
It'll take time.
Another big thing too. Did you guys notice this? Hurts is not getting down as low as he used to because you don't have the ball coming in 100 miles per hour from Jason Kelsey's snaps. So he's like actually like standing up the entire time. He's not all the way down, basically sitting on the turf. But go ahead, Jaden. You can make your pick.
I'm going Philly here. I think they just have a scary, scary offense. And with the addition of Saquon, it just got better in the offseason. That team with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, you put Saquon in the backfield. Hurts can run and throw. It's just they're a phenomenal team, and I definitely agree with you guys that they're going to probably make it to the big game here.
I've been pretty chalk here, and, you know, upsets happen all the time in the NFL.
You wouldn't dare.
I'm going with the Falcons.
Oh, my.
I want to see it. You know, Monday night and primetime in general is not kind to our glorious king, Kirk Cousins, but... You know, they cannot play as bad as they did last week. That offense is too good. They went away from Bijan Robinson. I thought we were avoiding these problems this year. I think that this offense is just going to go crazy. Mm. It's going to be a shootout on Monday night. It's going to be so much fun to watch. The Eagles are great. I really do think that. I think the Eagles are one of the best teams in football. But I just can't see the Falcons starting 0-2. I just think Kirk's going to snap back into it. We're going to pretend like that Achilles injury never even happened. Mm-hmm. And I just want to pick against all you guys. So I'm going with the
I respect
Falcons.
That, Ben. You know, that takes courage, and we need that on this panel.
Yes.
Can I say one more note before the end of the show?
I was just going to give it to you. I know exactly where this is going.
Illini football won the game this past weekend. Let's go now. I mean, I've told you guys, Illini are going to make some runs this year. I mean, I love this squad. Let's go.
Yeah, this is an awesome 6-4 loading, guys.
Steve Cease is going to kick you off the air. For
I don't care. Go Illini.
Jaden, thank you for joining the show. We're back every Thursday at 6 p.m. here on the Red Zone. Once again, thank you so much for joining. This was the Red Zone.